Hello and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. This week we have a whimsical play starring the great Jimmy Stewart as a con man who lies his way into an old folks' home to get a meal when he is down and out. The play starred Jose Ferrer on Broadway, and it was a success. Its author, Robert McEnroe, wanted to prove that a play about old people could find an audience. You'll get a kick out of the lead character who uses his pet fighting rooster as a conversational companion. This is Theater Guild on the Air, The Silver Whistle, first broadcast April 6th, 1952 on ABC.
Armed Forces Radio Service presents the Theater Guild on the air. Each week at this time, the Theater Guild brings you an interesting dramatic presentation with a cast of prominent stage, screen, and radio personalities. Speaking for the Theater Guild, here is Elliot Reed.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, we bring you the radio premiere of a recent Theater Guild comedy stage success, The Silver Whistle, by Robert E. McEnroe. James Stewart is on hand to play Oliver Erwinter, and Diana Lynn will be heard as Miss Tripp. They will be supported by a fine cast, including members of the original New York stage company. So, with an appropriate toot, we raise the curtain on The Silver Whistle, adapted for us by Robert Anderson and directed by Homer Figger.
All right, hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up, folks, and try your luck on the little game. It's 10 cents, a dime, a tenth part of a dollar.
Look, but let's get out of here before the cops catch up with us.
Quiet, Emmett, quiet. I think I got a customer. Step right up, mister. Take a chance. Here.
Take my dime. I warn you, I got a quick eye.
Here you go. Now you see it. Now you don't. The hand is quicker than the eye.
Uh-oh. Come on, Wilford, the cop.
Hey, where's my dime?
Wilford, whatever made you think you could pick us up a couple of bucks as a shell game operator?
I used to be pretty good at it.
When?
At the faculty club, amusing my fellow instructors after lunch.
Emmett, I'm hungry. That's the only reason I tried it. I'm hungry.
Well, you got the cops after us. That is what you did.
No, they won't follow us into this township.
We are still in the same county.
The cops don't bother me, Emmett. What bothers me is my stomach. You and I have been knights of the road for nigh on 5 years. I don't think I've ever been so hungry. I think I'm going to have to eat that rooster you carry around with you in that cage. Yeah, Omar, that means you.
Over my dead body, you'll eat, Omar.
Well, that could be arranged, too. Yeah, I'm starved. I'm so hungry, I might even consider working for a meal.
Wilfred, what are you doing? I thought we agreed that we would not lower ourselves to poking through trash baskets.
Yes, I'm just... thought I might look at the want ads in the newspaper.
Look, I am hungry too, but no respectable vagabond ever works for a meal. What is that? Mm. What did you find?
Ah, okay, it's a document. Notice the official seal. Well, it's a birth certificate.
Oh, so what? Come on.
A birth certificate for one Oliver T. Erwinter, born 1875.
So, can we eat it?
Well, with some little ingenuity, we might trade it for something to eat. 1875. Mm-hmm. That would make him 77 years old.
So.
Uh-huh. You remember that large and ugly building we passed on the runaways back? With all the walls around it? That was the old people's home.
So?
With this birth certificate and the aforementioned ingenuity, I think I could get admitted to that home for a few weeks of rest recreation, and most of all, food.
But, Wilfred, you are only 40 years old.
And if I don't eat soon, I'll never get any older.
I tell you, Mr. Beebe, I don't belong in an old people's home. Just sitting around here in the garden with a 10-foot wall all around us, waiting.
Well, Mrs. Hanmer, as long as we have to wait, we may as well sit.
Nobody cares about me, Mr. Beebe. They're willing to let me sit here and rot.
What did you say?
Rot, Miss Audley, rot. Pick up your ear trumpet.
I'm all right. Hunter's all right.
My back and my appendix. If it wasn't for my back and my appendix, I'd be out of here in a flash. Appendix, Miss Audley.
Have it out.
We're all just sitting around waiting to die. Do you remember Mr. Benson?
Wasn't he the one that was so polite?
That's the one, Mr. Beebe, the polite one. He passed on right in that chair you're sitting in.
In this chair?
On an afternoon just like this one. We were talking, and all of a sudden he says, excuse me, Mrs. Hanmer, and he died.
He was polite right up to the very last. Mm-hmm.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Hello, Miss Tripp.
It's time for your medicine. Mrs. Sampler, here are your pills.
The flowers have all wilted, Miss Tripp.
Flowers won't grow in this garden. The whole place is old. And the ground is old. It's an old dump.
Miss Tripp isn't old. She's young and pretty.
I'd be ashamed to run an old dump, Miss Tripp.
Sometimes I am ashamed, Mrs. Hanmer, but there isn't much I can do.
A supervisor's stuck on you. I don't know why you can't ask
Please,
him
Mrs. For... Hanmer.
Yes, I guess the flowers didn't want to live here with us ugly old people.
Stop fishing for compliments, Miss Sampler.
You're not ugly and old, Mrs. Sampler. You're pretty. Why, with your beautiful white hair and the roses in your cheeks, you're pretty as a picture on a candy box.
Thank you, Mr. Beebe. I do my best.
She's 78 years old and she acts coy. Whoever heard of a 78-year-old minx?
I'm only 74 years old, Mrs. Hanmer.
You're 78 and what's more, you look every day of it.
ladies, please. Now, you must rock quietly or you'll have to go indoors. Now, Mr. Cherry, here's your medicine.
Thank you, Miss Tripp. I'm just putting this stamp from Afghanistan in my stamp album.
Oh, that's very pretty, Mr. Cherry. Yeah. Miss Hoadley, put your earphone in your ear. I want to talk to you.
She's been drinking again, Miss Tripp.
I don't want to hear you. I feel like a millionaire. Hoadley's all right. Hoadley's a good girl.
She doesn't even know she's in an old people's home.
She's certainly tipsy.
Tipsy? She's plastered.
Now, Mrs. Hanmer. You haven't taken your pills.
Not going to either. My appendix is acting up again.
Now, do you remember what happened the last time you thought you had appendicitis? It was just a little gas.
It was my appendix. You risked my life to save the money for an operation.
Mrs. Hanmer, you know that isn't so. Why, we had the doctor in for you. Do you remember what he gave you?
I remember. He gave
Yes. All right, Mr. B. Now, here comes the supervisor. Sit up and look your best for Mr. Watson.
Good evening, ladies. Oh, hello, Harriet. Thank you for straightening up my study and for the little dish of fruit.
Well, that's all right. Look at your coat. One of the buttons is missing.
No, yes.
Sometimes I think you need as much attention as the guests.
Now, how is everyone this afternoon?
Well, there's not much use in telling you, but my appendix is bad again.
Mrs. Hanmer, we live in a relatively poor county. We can't afford to spend money on unnecessary operations.
Everyone will be sorry if I die doubled up in a knot.
Now, I have just received a phone call from the director of our home here. He says we're to have a new guest, a Mr. Oliver T. Erwinter. Mr. Erwinter is 77 years old, but the director informs me that he's very spry and young for his age. He's traveled all over the world and has many interesting stories to tell. So I'd like you to make a good impression on him, if you will.
We'll try, Mr. Watson.
Well, I'll be in my study when he comes. Thank you again, Harriet, for the dish of fruit.
You're welcome, John. Mr. Watson?
What you see in that man, I don't know. I suppose some people would say he's good-looking.
Now, Mrs. Handler,
did he propose yet?
Propose what?
Well, marriage. Man in his position, what else could he propose?
We have an understanding, Mrs. Handler.
Oh, you have an understanding. I haven't got a ring.
Now, that will do, Mrs. Handler. Mr. Beebe, Mr. Cherry, will you help me get Miss Hoadley inside? I don't like her sitting here in the yard in this condition when our new guest arrives.
Isn't it a shame she took the drink?
Isn't it a shame we don't know where she took it from?
Ladies, is this the home of the age?
Can't bring that bird in this yard.
Madam, you have offended my rooster. Quiet, Omar. Quiet.
Who are you, sir?
I am Oliver Erwinter, the new guest.
What? You don't look 77 to me.
Madam, my body has weathered 77 winters. My bones are old and brittle. My blood flows slowly, and the chill of night torments my flesh. But my heart... my heart is that of a youth. Now, will you direct me, please, where
we go here? Oh, here's Miss Tripp. She'll tell you what to do. What you'll do is nothing.
Are you Mr. Erwinter?
Ah, a tender bud among the cactus.
I had an idea that you would be much older, Mr. Erwinter.
Yes, my appearance is deceptive, very deceptive. I'm 77 years old, 77.
Why, that's amazing. I don't mean to offend you, but...
Not offended in the least, no. To allay all doubts, I've brought along my birth certificate. Here it is.
Yes. Where is your luggage, Mr. Erwinter?
Well, due to a disastrous fire which wiped out my effects, I have nothing in the world except this lovely rooster in the cage here.
Looks as though I've been a rooster too long.
Madam, this is Omar, the greatest living fighting cock in the world today. Omar, attend that the ladies may see the fiery glint in your eye and the rippling muscles that propel you. Now, let's hear your battle cry. Yes, it just plain tuckered out. Needs a rest, so do I.
Oh, Mr. Beebe, Mr. Cherry, Mr. Erwinter has arrived.
Oh, how do you do, gentlemen?
How do you do?
Mr. Beebe used to work in an insurance company in Hollywood.
Oh, that's so.
Yes, I worked for the same company for 45 years. Fire,
yes.
Marine.
And this is Mr. Cherry. Mr. Cherry collects stamps.
I understand that you've traveled, Mr. Erwinter.
Yes, I've been in most places in the world that men go to, and a few that most men have never seen.
What is your opinion of Africa, Mr. Erwinter?
The veldt, the jungles, the hill country.
Well, the veldt.
It's hot, it's flat, and it stinks. You've never smelled a stink till you've smelled the stink of the veldt.
Jungles. What can you tell us about the jungles?
You know what the veldt's like.
The smell.
Now, well, the jungles are worse. They steam. The trees are wet with steam, and they're full of crawling insects and slimy vines and giant spiders, crocodiles and man-eating fish inhabit the streams and the rivers, and fever germs swarm in every breath you take. Yeah, you think the veldt stinks. Well, you'll smell it and like it after you get out of the jungle.
What a romantic life you've led, Mr. Winter. You must have been in love many times.
Love? Well, it's hard to say. Hard to say. Of course, there have been women all over the world, of course, but love?
Well, how do you explain your youthful appearance, Mr. Erwinter?
Oh, that interests you, does it, my little one? Yes. Do you find my appearance provocative?
Oh, I'm just curious.
Well, then I'll tell you. The main thing that keeps me looking young is living every moment as though it were going to be my last. Of course, being in full possession of all my powers helps some.
What?
Hmm?
Let him talk. The man's the biggest liar I ever met.
Mr. Irwinter, there are some things we don't talk about here.
Oh, forgive me. Forgive me. I had forgotten that one so young and lovely was listening. You're a very attractive woman. You're far too attractive to be trapped in such a dingy place as this.
Tell us more about keeping young, Mr. Irwinter.
Oh, well, yes. Back in 1918, when I was, 1918, when I was 45 years old, I made a trip into Outer Mongolia.
Why did you go there?
No reason. I'd never been to Outer Mongolia, and I was 45 years old. I decided it was high time that I went there.
So you just went?
Just went, that's all. Yes, it was there that I first met Lo Chin Poo, the man who set my sights on destiny.
He spoke English.
I speak Chinese. And one day as we walked, we looked into each other's eyes and I had knowledge. He swore friendship and he gave me a great gift. A potion of twin sea. No man could give another more.
But what was the potion for?
The potion was the elixir of youth. After man had crossed the meridian of life, these emotions cool. The potion of twin sea brings back to life that force in man that makes him flame.
Oh, my, do you suppose
it's that? Mr. Irwinter, I think before things go any farther, you'd better meet Mr. Watson. He's the superintendent in charge here. Would you come along?
Mr. Irwinter, in spite of your birth certificate, it's difficult to believe that...
Mr. Watson, you're skeptical about my age. I don't blame you. But I say that anyone can do it. I say to you, in all earnestness, Mr. Watson, that I can take years off the lives of all your guests here.
You can?
25 years off the life of each one of these old people here. 25 years.
Can you imagine being 25 years younger?
Mr. Winter.
Yes, Mrs. Sample?
If a person tried very hard, could she take off 30 years?
Wouldn't you know? Offer 25 and she'll try for 30.
Friends, I'm sure Mr. Irwinter didn't mean for us to take him literally.
Why not, sir?
Well, are you suggesting that you can make people younger?
Are you suggesting I can't?
I am.
Well, then I think I'll do it.
Oh, well, let's start.
Mr. Irwinter, just what are you planning to do?
I was planning to play upon the silver whistle.
A silver whistle?
Yes. The old dog crawled away to die and hid amid the thistle. Then joy and youth came back to him on the note of a silver whistle. In a certain sense, I have that whistle that'll call these people back to youth. Of course, you wouldn't understand, Mr. Watson.
I am not without understanding.
No, not of the things I speak, of pipes of Pan, of pagan madness, of moonlight mist.
I must ask you to refrain from talking so wildly.
What, are you afraid what might happen? And you, Miss Tripp, are you afraid of life?
She is not afraid, Mr. Irwinter.
No, you answers all her questions for her. I say again, Miss Tripp, I find you very attractive.
Well, thank you, Mr. Irwin.
Miss Tripp, please.
Why, is it against the rules to tell Miss Tripp that she's attractive?
That's supper. We must all go wash up.
Oh, supper. Food. Oh, yes, I was hoping you'd eat early.
Mr. Irwinter, what is your opinion of Cairo?
Cairo? Cairo. Well, Cairo is a city so full of wickedness that it is hard for a normal man to sin there. I like it very much.
Ten more minutes to bedtime. Time to wash and say your prayers.
Mr. Beebe? Oh, I see. You're ready for bed.
Yes, I just thought I'd come out for a breath of air. Isn't it nice out?
Isn't it nice? Yes. It was on such a night as this that I climbed the trellis outside Lillian Russell's window.
I see. I was just wondering, the potion of Twinsy, the one that brings to life that force within a man that makes him flame.
Yes?
Now, is it a powder or a liquid?
Well, it's not exactly either.
Do you carry it with you?
Well, I'm out of it at the moment. I sent it to Bedford some 6 weeks ago.
Oh. Did you leave a change of address?
Well, it will come to me general delivery. It may be down at the post office right now.
When was the last time you checked at the post office?
About a week ago, Miss Beebe.
Well, it may be there. It may be there right now.
Yes. Well, I'll drop down tomorrow and see if there's anything in from Tibet.
Mr. Erwinter.
Yes, Miss Beebe.
I guess you think I sound awfully eager, but, well, we're all very excited about your plan to take 25 years off our lives.
Good. That's the first step.
But you will do it, won't you? You're not just talking, are you?
No, I'm not, Mr. Beebe, and I'll do it. I'll do it, Mr. Beebe.
I will.
Come
to bed.
Yes, coming, Miss Tripp.
Pleasant dreams, Mr. Beebe.
Mr. Erwinter?
Yes, Miss Tripp, here I am, over in the orchard.
You're supposed to be in bed, Mr. Erwinter. It's 9:30.
9:30? Oh, well, I never go to bed before 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. What am I going to do in bed?
Oh, won't you be able to sleep?
At 9:30? What, do you go to bed at 9:30?
Well, it takes me a few minutes to lock up, but I'm in bed by 10.
Well, you can't expect me to go to bed at the same time these old people.
Mr. Erwinter, if you're old enough to be a guest here, you're old enough to go to bed.
Yes. When was the last time you were kissed by a man?
I don't think that's any of your business.
Oh, well, don't be afraid to tell me, my child. I'm an old, old man.
Well, now, which is it? Do you stay up late because you're young, or do you pry into my private life because you're an old, old man?
Well, the moonlight does something to your hair and your eyes. You're very beautiful. Why are you hiding here? What are you running away from?
Mr. Erwinter, I don't know you. Why, I've never seen you before today.
Can you stand there and tell me you'd just as soon go to bed at 10 o'clock at night on a moonlight night?
It's the only way I know to get a good night's sleep.
Sleep? Do you want to sleep your life away in this place while life is passing you by? What have you done with the thousands of moments in the past 3 years? Let them slip away, perhaps?
You can't stop them.
But you can live them. You can live each moment.
Live them? How? You can't just go around waving your arms.
Here, give me your hand. Just stand over here close to me and look up at the moon. And think back when, as a child, you first made that wish on the evening star.
Why, that seems so long ago.
You were young and slim and swift, a creature who was part of nature. You were the... No, you keep looking at the moon.
When I was very small, I thought that the moon was a hole in the sky. God looked through to watch us.
When you were a child, you responded to the wind and to the flight of a scarlet bird at sundown.
I remember when I thought that the rain was the tears the stars made when they cried.
And you were alive. Each moment brought fresh enchantment without searching.
Harriet?
Oh, that's John. That is Mr. Watson.
By what right does he call you after 10 o'clock?
I told him I'd sew a button on his coat for him.
Oh, well, look here. I need 2 buttons sewn on my engine.
Well, yes. Yes, so you do. But John, that is Mr. Watson, I promised him tonight.
Well, how about tomorrow night? Will you promise me tomorrow night?
Well, all right, yes. Yes, tomorrow night. But now you must go to bed.
But I don't feel like going to bed. I feel full of life.
I don't care what you're full of or how you got full of it. You're 77 years old and you've got to go to bed.
Ah, you've woken up at last, Rooster. You know, you've been a disgrace to me here among these people, Omar. I said you were a fighter, but you do nothing but sleep.
These old people depress you, do they, Elmer? Well, it is depressing. But, Bert, believe me, I can halt this march toward death and bring these people back to life. You don't believe it, huh? Well, you shall have a better fate than dragging out your later years in misery. For a short time, you will live well. You will become round and fat and jolly. And then, my friend, I will eat you.
Oh, no, you won't.
What? Oh, Emmett, here, now get down from that wall. You want someone to see you?
All right.
Look, Emmett, if anybody sees you here...
Correct me if I am wrong. The idea in your coming to this place was to hide out for a day, get some food for us, and then clear out with me.
Well?
So far, I have seen no food, nor any inclination on your part to leave.
Well, I've decided to linger a while, Emmett.
Why?
I've decided to make these old people younger. You see this little package?
Yeah. What is it?
I've been down to the post office this morning preparing this small package. Took some time since the package is presumed to have come from Tibet.
What are the contents of the package?
A potion of twin seed. I have some chores for you, Emmett.
Wilfred, you have not acted this way since you offered to donate a live water buffalo to the Children's Museum. Do you fancy that by giving them an imaginary potion, you can make them younger?
Of course not. The potion is just a prop. I'll force them out of the mental ruts they're in. The mind is the secret of youth, Emmett. These people's minds have tricked them into being old. I'm going to turn them inside out.
Even if it kills them, which it probably will.
No, the charming Miss Tripp is a lovely woman, and she has kindness of feeling toward these people, but she doesn't understand their needs. I've been quite touched by these people, Emmett, and I intend to help them.
Oh, the charming Miss Tripp.
Mm-hmm.
May I remind you, Wilfred, that so far in your life you have been engaged to 5 women. May I further remind you that I extricated you from all 5 predicaments.
Yes. Now, I want you to do something for me. I want you to go out and get me a croquet set, a bingo wheel.
Wilfred, while the police outside are still scurrying around looking for you, you sit here dreaming up phony schemes, falling in love.
Now, will you do these chores for me, Emmett, and then I'll be off with you. I promise.
Let me remind you, Wilfred, love holds hidden dangers. Love leads to marriage. Marriage leads to work. Work is a living death. Think of this, Wilfred, and be warned.
Mrs. Stamper, isn't it a wonderful idea, Mr. Irwinter's, to set up the supper table out here in the yard?
Oh, he's such a wonderful man. So vibrant and alive.
I think it's the potion he takes.
Oh, do you? Do you think he brought it back from the post office with him?
I think so. He winked at me.
Wouldn't you now leave them together for 2 minutes and Bibi's staring into the deep blue wells of her eyes?
Mrs. Hanmer, we're all going to be young again.
Perhaps Mrs. Hanmer feels there isn't any hope in her case.
Ah, Claus. Well, listen to me, you baby blue-eyed crown. I'm not old, but I'm old enough to know when to stop making a play for men.
Well, since you're such a reasonable woman, you must have stopped years ago.
Why, you outlandish lady.
Oh, now, come, girls. Not for supper. Bad for the digestion.
Now, everyone take their same seat, please. Mr. Cherry. Miss Hoadley.
Now, may I have your attention, one and all? May I have your attention, please? As we eat, I'd like to tell you of a plan I've made.
Oh, my, yes. Let's hear the plan.
What is your plan?
I think all of you will agree that Miss Hoadley should have a hearing aid with batteries. Miss Cherry should have new stamps. Miss Sampler should have flowers that will grow. And Mrs. Hanmer should have her operation.
Oh, yes, of course.
And me, did you have
something in mind for me, Mr. Irwinter?
Oh, yes, Mr. Beebe. Yes, there's something for you. I'll discuss that with you later in private.
I understand.
Now, in order to obtain these things, it will take a slight amount of money. Now, to raise the money, we shall have a bazaar.
Oliver, I'm sure that Mr. Watson wouldn't like that.
With a little ingenuity, we might make $500-$600.
Oh, well, if we can make that much, I think we ought to try.
A bazaar, you gotta have a lot of things. Bazaar in this dump.
Now, never mind. I will arrange everything.
Big talk. Trying to make an impression on Miss Trapp.
Now, Mrs.
I give you my word. I give it. And now, before we start eating, we ought to have a little song, some sort, to put us in this proper spirit, this wonderful repast Miss Trapp has prepared. Now, how about a song, so let's see. Little brown dog, oh, I love thee.
Little brown dog, oh, I love thee.
May I ask what this demonstration is all about?
Well, we were just singing a song.
Well, it just so happens the church next door is having their evening service. Where did this table come from?
It's the dining room table. We thought it would be nice to have an outdoor supper. It seemed harmless.
Because it was harmless.
May I ask, Mr. Irwinter, what you had to do with this?
Well, I thought of it.
You all know where the table belongs. I want it put back there at once.
But, Mr. Watson, we were having such a good time.
And I'm sorry.
First party we had in months.
Miss Tripp, may I see you in my office, please?
I told you, there ain't nothing gonna happen, nothing at all. That's the end of your bazaar, Mr. Albert Irwinter.
Now, Harry.
Now, John, why did you make those poor old people take that table in?
Well, I lost my temper. I'm sorry.
You should be.
Well, tell them they can bring it out again.
It's too late now.
Harriet, Mr. Irwinter seems to be an upsetting influence here.
Whom does he upset?
Our guests, of course.
And you?
Yes, and me. He forces me into the position of a killjoy. But I can't help it. I have certain responsibilities, rules to enforce. Personally, I have no objections to him. He seems to be an interesting man.
Fascinating. He has a great deal of charm.
I imagine that he must have been quite handsome 30 years ago.
What's the matter with him now?
His face is wrinkled.
You haven't seen him up close.
Harriet! Has he made any advances?
Well, he tried to kiss me.
Doesn't he know we're engaged?
How could he? There's no ring on my finger, no date set. And the last time you told me you loved me was 4 months ago.
Now, people who are in love don't have to keep proving it to each other.
Are you ashamed of being in love, John?
Of course I'm not ashamed.
Well, then can't you say, I love you?
Oh, all right, then. Oh, this is foolishness, foolishness.
Then the next time I shall let him kiss me.
No.
And that will be tonight, yes.
No.
Yes.
Has it occurred to you that in just 23 years he'll be 100 years old?
Yes. You see, Oliver, if I left here, I wouldn't know what to do. I wouldn't know where to go or how to get the most out of life.
Listen, Harriet, I can show you where a golden cockatoo sits in a little crooked tree, where a shaft of saffron-yellow sunlight illuminates a single blood-red rose. I can take you to strange, enchanted places where mystic things can happen to the soul, and I can give you love.
Oliver, I should tell you.
Yes, tell me what?
That John, that is Mr. Watson and I, have an understanding.
And just what do you two proper people understand?
We understand that someday he will put a ring on my finger.
Well, if you want a ring, I'll give it to you now.
Now, Oliver?
Why, we're in love now. Why wait 3 years to confirm it? I regret the fact that I don't have the proper ring to put on your finger, but I well, here, this beautiful cigar band I have here. This will serve as a symbol of our love.
But, Oliver, shouldn't we talk it over first? Well,
what is there to talk about? Besides, I'm not the chatty sort.
How can I know my mind on such sudden notice?
You don't, nor do I know mine. But the grave is no place to find the final calculation that tells one that it is safe to love. There. Now, the paper jewel is upon your finger. Now we'll promise all the things that lovers vow.
Mr. Winter?
Oh, dear, passion and a goldfish bowl. I promised Mr. Beebe and Mr. Cherry that I'd have a little chat with them in their room before they went to bed, but you'll meet me here later, after they're all in bed. You'll come?
Yes, I'll come, Oliver.
Mr. Winter?
Yeah, until 10 o'clock then. Farewell. Coming, Mr. Beebe.
Come, Mr. Winter. The potion, the pink star.
The twink star. Yes. Yes, indeed it is. Wow.
Oh. It's a very small package.
I guess it doesn't take much of it.
The stamp is in excellent condition. The perforations aren't torn at all.
The address is written in English.
Yes. He must have got somebody to do it for him. It's not his writing.
And you plan to save the stamp yourself?
Well, I was in hopes that you would be able to use it, Miss Cherry.
Oh, thank you for your kindness, Cherry.
Why don't you open it up?
Now? Well, all right. Here we are. Now, we'll split it three ways. And, as a further surprise, to wash it down, I have some whiskey. Mrs. Hoadley's whiskey.
Where'd you find it?
Little ingenuity. Whiskey and a potion of twinsty. Boy, we're in for a wild night. Mr. Beebe, you're first. I'll have one.
They look like rolled up breadcrumbs.
Rolled up pellets of youth, Mr. Beebe. Have one. That's right. Now we'll wash it down with a little of the tears of Highland lassies. Wash it down. There we are.
My goodness, I'm nervous. This is my first time.
I know. Just take it easy. Now, Mr. Cherry, you're next.
Thank you, but I don't think I'd better.
Oh.
You said you would.
I'll keep the stamp, though, if I may.
Oh, now, you're safe in taking one, Mr. Cherry. Now, they can't hurt you. Look, you eat them right like candy. I just eat them like candy.
Well, try one just to see what they're like.
That's the spirit. That's the way to do it. Here. Come fill the cup, and in the fire of spring, the winter garment of repentance fling. How do you feel, Mr. Beebe?
I don't feel anything yet.
Uh-huh. Well, have patience, my friend. The potion is up against enormous odds. And now, maybe have another little drink, huh? Yeah. Wash it down. How's it now? You feel anything now?
What should I feel?
What should... my friend, how can one man tell another what he will feel like when he takes the potion of youth? You'll feel what you will feel, my friend.
Well,
there we are. Now it's breaking through.
I feel as wild as a tiger cub.
You do? Well, that's the spirit.
Come on, Cherry. Let's ring bells. Let's rattle doorknob.
Rattle doorknob? What do you mean, Mr. Beebe?
Come on!
Mr. Beebe, do you think you'd better?
I'm going to. Come on, Mr. Cherry. Rattle doorknob. Mademoiselle from Armand Tears, Hollywood. Mademoiselle from Armand Tears, Hollywood.
Mr. Beebe. Mr. Cherry.
Watson.
Go to bed, Mr. Beebe. Mr. Cherry.
Pleasant dreams, gentlemen.
Mr. Erwinter, we do not pretend that our way of life here is absolute, nor do we state it that it's the only correct approach to living. But it is ours. And by the standards of this home, What you have just done was anything but proper. I will see you in the morning. Till then, good night, sir.
Now, Mr. Watson.
In the morning, Mr. Erwinter.
What is it, Emmett?
What are you doing down there on your hands and knees?
I'm planting flowers. All night long, I've been planting flowers you so carelessly left about the place last evening.
Well, do not forget you kept me pretty busy rustling all this stuff for the bazaar. Bird baths, trees, Japanese lanterns, bingo wheels, croquet sets. I hope you like my extra added touch of a hurdy-gurdy. A bazaar always needs a little music, I think.
Yes, you did very well, Emmett, very well on such short notice. And did you post the announcements about the town?
Yes. Wilfred, now that you have transformed this place into a veritable flower garden, fill your pockets with food for us and grain for the bird and let us be on our way.
Well, I fear we must linger 3 days longer for the bazaar. Once the bazaar is over, the three of us will take the bird and be on our way.
The three of us?
Yes. Miss Tripp is the third. Oh, I forgot to tell you. I'm engaged.
Not again.
But is marriage to be the exclusive prize of men who grudge at silly tasks? And why not a Mrs. Hobo who smooths the wrinkles out of her husband's coat and patches his pants and fixes his stew?
Wilfred, I have been patient with you over and beyond the call of duty. Now we have got to get out of this town. We are only a step ahead of the sheriff as it is.
Oh, you worry too much, Emmett. You worry too much.
Wilfred, while I was posting a sign announcing the bazaar, another man was posting another sign right next to me.
Oh, competition?
No. The sign read, Wanted for Gambling, Wilfred Tassfinder. Reward, $5.
$5? What's humiliating.
So, Wilfred, loath as I am to do it, if you have not rid yourself of this trip wench when I return, I shall expose you to these old people, which will be a very mean trick. But at least we can then be on our way.
Now, Emmett, I'm serious. You must not tell these old people. They're just about to become young again, young and hard. Now, every man is entitled to work one miracle in his life. Now, don't ruin mine.
All right, then. When I return, when you hear me whistling Annie Laurie, be advised and come quickly. Or, in the words all small boys love so much, I shall snitch.
Yes, Emmett. Yes, very well. But you've got to give me time to get this bazaar approved by Watson and then by the director of the home, see?
Wilfred, do you know who the director of the home is?
No, who?
The sheriff.
Oh.
Look, everyone. Look at the garden.
That's remarkable. Flowers, streamers, and look, a bingo wheel. Try it. Whee!
Can't believe my eyes. I'm looking right at it, and I don't believe it. I thought he was just talking.
We're getting younger by the minute. Don't you feel it, Cherry?
I feel quite jittery.
How did it happen, Mrs. Hanmer?
That crazy Erwinter must have done it.
You do look younger, Mr. Beebe. It's just the way he says. You look 25 years younger. Wait until Mrs. Sampler sees you now.
Oh, am I going to court her this morning? You can court her too, Mr. Cherry. We'll make it a triangle.
Hey, look, a hurdy-gurdy.
Miss Hoadley.
Yes, Mrs. Hanmer, speak up, right into my ear.
Come over here.
Mrs. Hanmer, you've curled your hair.
I have not.
Yes, you did.
Now listen, did anybody try to get in your room last night?
I didn't hear anybody.
Well, never mind what you heard. Did you see anybody?
I didn't see a soul.
Somebody tried to get at me, rattled the door handle.
What did you do?
What do you think I did? I'm a lady. I'm a lady. Everybody knows I'm a lady.
Well, you curled your hair. I never seen your hair curled before.
Look, here comes that coy minx done up to the teeth. I'd be ashamed.
Oh,
Oh, it's a fairyland, a lovely fairyland. Oh, I feel like a girl, a little girl.
Miss Sampler, you look so pretty. Just to look at you is like looking at a picture painted by a painter.
Oh, Mr. Beebe.
Yes, all here comes trouble.
What's happened to this yard? Where did all these things come from?
We don't know, Mr. Watson, but don't they look nice?
Well, yes, they do, but... Well, I'd feel much better if I knew where they came from. You all seem to look different today, too.
Well, we're all dressed up.
Mrs. Henry curled her hair.
We're getting younger, too, Mr. Watson.
Well, I must admit that you all look younger. Much younger. But what's the yard all done up for? The flowers, the streamers. What's this wheel for?
That's for the bazaar we're giving here today. That's your bingo wheel.
Bingo? A bazaar? Oh, but you can't have a bazaar without the permission of the director of the home, Sheriff Chandler.
Oh, I made cookies.
That's right. Miss Hoadley made cookies, and I made marmalade, and Mrs. Hammer baked bread, and Mr. Cherry and Mr. Beebe worked very hard making the booth. Oh, and we had such a good time doing it all.
And signs have been posted all over town announcing...
What? What'd you say?
Miss Tripp, Mr. Watson says we can't have the bazaar.
I was afraid he would.
Now, Harriet, these matters are not in our hands. Only the director can give permission for something like this. And now they've told me they've just posted signs all over town announcing that... Say, what's that noise? Who's outside the gate?
I guess the people read the signs and they've come for the bazaar.
Mr. Watson, what is the meaning of this?
The director, John. Now, here's your chance.
Now, all you folks will just have to wait till I go in and see what's what. Now, you stay out here and don't create a disturbance. Well, now, Mr. Watson, what is all this? Posters all over town announcing a bazaar? Yard all done up like this? Do you have permission for a bazaar?
No, sir, we don't.
Well, then, by what authority have you posted this announcement?
Well, John?
Well, I took it upon myself, Sheriff. Although I didn't realize it until a short time ago, something has to be done for our guests. I'm more than a little ashamed that I didn't do it sooner.
You took it upon yourself?
They ask little of the world. Some little thing to hope for, some reason they can tell themselves for still being alive.
We are dispensing charity, not notions.
Oh, why can't we have this little bazaar? One of our guests has given us the answer. He says that joy and beauty are available to them. And I agree.
Yeah? Which one of your guests, Mr. Watson?
Mr. Oliver Irwinter.
Oh, somebody call me? Oh, we have a guest, a new arrival at the bazaar.
Sheriff Chandler, this is Oliver Irwinter. Oliver, this is the director of the home.
Yes, well, Mr. Watson, I say that these games like bingo are cheap and foolish. They're just a waste of time and money.
Now, Mr. Chandler, permit me, please. Now, you've forgotten how much fun this silly little game can be. Now, this little shell game I have here is a fascinating little thing. We only ask an opportunity to demonstrate. You'll try?
Well, I'm a fair man. How much it costs to try?
A nickel will pay you 5 to 1 if you name the shell that the pea's under.
Well, all right, I guess so. Well, here's my nickel. All right,
go there ahead. We go. Now you see it, now you don't. Jack me nimble, Jack me quick. Call it, Sheriff.
The middle one there.
You're right. Pay the man a quarter, Mr. Watson.
What?
Yeah, now another try, Mr. Sheriff.
Well,
your luck again.
I always was pretty lucky. Go ready.
Here we go. Once more. All of life's a gamble, you know. You bet your destiny every time you set your watch. All right, here we go. Round and round. Call it, Sheriff.
The middle one there.
He's right. Pay the man again, Mr. Watson.
But I...
Mr. Irwinter, how do you expect to make any money this way?
Well, not everyone has as quick an eye as you have, sir.
What did you say, sir?
All right. All right, you can have your bazaar. Only make sure that you make some money.
Mr. Irwinter, you convinced him.
You got him to agree.
I got it handed to you. I thought you were a fake, but you did it. You really did it.
On, open the gates. Up with the colors. Sound the trumpets, all. The lists are cleared for the battle against boredom and despair.
Well, it looks like you're going to have a big success, Mr. Irwinter. Sorry, I can't stay around here.
Oh, so am I, Sheriff.
I gotta get back to the office. We're tracking down a sharp character. fellow by the name of Wilfred Taskbinder.
Oh, yes, yes. Saw the posters, yes.
We're expecting a description of this fellow any minute now.
Seems to me I remember a man of that name in my travels.
You did? What'd he look like?
He's a short little man. His man about that high.
Likewise.
Yes.
I heard he was a great big tall feller about your height.
No, he's a short little fella, just real short fella, about that high.
Yeah, well, we ought to have a full description of him down at the office by now. He'll be sorry he ever stumbled into Coholes County.
Oliver, we should be up at the bazaar helping.
We'll return in a minute, Harriet, but first I must talk to you, and my time's a little short.
Everything seems to be happening at once. The bazaar's only been open a couple of hours, and already it's a great success. And, of course, our engagement.
My dear, have you broken your engagement with Mr. Watson?
No. No, I haven't told him. I didn't think that... Well...
Yeah, you're engaged to a man, then. A sort of promised bigamy.
I can see now how bigamists get into bigamy.
Yes, yes, yes. My dear, perhaps you have one more fiancé than you need.
Well, things have happened too quickly for me to understand them. Oliver, shouldn't we talk about our futures? Why, we have to plan our lives.
Oh, it's wrong to plan lives. We will live at all the points where motion, time, and space will intersect.
Oliver, if we were to have a home, it would have to be in one certain place. Now, we can't wander all over the world.
Oh, well, you say that because you do not know what wandering can mean. There is a thrill to sleeping, no pillow but your arm. There is a shrill excitement of hanging suspended by a slender strand of rope thousands of feet above the earth from two granite cliffs.
Oliver, that all sounds wonderful, but I wouldn't want to spend much time sleeping in the open or hanging from a cliff. There's more to life than that.
Oh, my dear, you don't understand. You don't understand. Life is never more exciting than when it is wagered at even odds with death. To step on a log that turns into a crocodile, to push aside a bush and stare a tiger right in the eye, to dive into the cool transparency of a sea of emerald green, to dive straight down and to meet a shark that's on his way back up. Oh, life is magnificent.
It was because you offered beauty and escape that I fell a little bit in love with you last night. But, Oliver, things are different now.
Oh, you mean you were in love with the words I said and not with me? You mean... Yes, you were in love with your friend, Mr. Watson. Well, you were last night, and you are right now.
But you made him seem so bottled up.
Yes, well, he became unbottled rather magnificently, didn't he, a few minutes ago when he talked to the sheriff. That was very good.
Yes, he did.
Yes, I think you have to work on him a bit more to get him where you want him, but I think he's all right now.
Oh, look, Oliver, someone's coming to call us back to the bazaar.
No, he's coming for me.
Are you ready, Wilfred?
Yes, Emmett, I'm coming.
What was that he called you? Wilfred?
Yes, the time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. My name is not Oliver Irwinter. It's Wilfred Taskbinder.
Oh, I don't understand.
I retired from the competitive struggle for existence at the age of 34. I have no job, no income, no place to lay my head. I'm...
Why be delicate, Wilfred? He is a tramp.
A tramp? Why, Oliver.
Yes, but so were Walt Whitman, Omar Khayyam, Francois Villon.
Well, yes, but the birth certificate, you had... The...
I found it in an ash can.
Well, then, how old are you?
I'm 40. Oh. But don't tell the old people. Keep it as our secret. They're young now because they're young and hard. Look at them. 25 years off the age of every one of them. See how happy they are with their bazaar. They don't need me anymore. They've caught the idea for themselves.
But, Oliver, where will you go now?
Where will I go? Oh, under a wild plum tree on the top of Sugarloaf Hill, I have a jug of elderberry wine secreted. And I'll relax beneath the tree and tope the grape while mine eyes and nose regard a bed of coals and a brown and tender bird upon a spit. Omar, your days are numbered.
Oliver, we shall miss you.
And I you. But we must be going now. Goodbye, my dear. Have a nice bazaar. And a nice wedding.
Thank you, Oliver, for everything. Goodbye.
Now come along, Emmett. Now that we've taken care of the old folks, let's away and start to work on the middle age.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying, so long for a while.